Brad Jeans, pastor of Albion First Pentecostal, whatever, Apostolic Church. It's something over there. I'm going to be preaching over there next week. Thank you, Brother Smith. Hallelujah. I give honor today to this church for your attendance today. And I'm under no illusions when he said 4 o'clock is food. I know what everybody's alarm clock is set to right now. And so we're going to have to try to kick it in overdrive and get with the program. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Cottrell. Now, you heard it. And, he's our elder here. So I give honor. I want to hasten, but I do want to give honor. I don't want to overlook the necessities. And the Bible says to give honor where honor is due. I feel like when someone's in a casket, it's a little late to give them the honor that they need to hear. And so I'm honored today to be here, and I give honor to the presbyters that are here. Brother Cottrell, I've known you for a while now, what a great man of God. And you're only almost half the man you was last time I saw you, but you're still a good man. Brother Jordan, it's good to see you, and I give you honor as a presbyter of this section. And Brother Addison, another district official, we're glad you're here with us today, and I give you honor. Of course, Bishop Smith, I guess that's your title officially now. We'll use it. If you want something else, just let me know. But call you Bishop right now. And what a stable rock. And Sister Smith, my goodness. And they don't know it yet, but they're going to be at my church here pretty soon. And he hasn't accepted it because I haven't asked him yet. So it's going to happen. And we're going to have a wonderful time. And so Pastor Smith, I could just keep naming names, but I'm just preach, okay? We'll do that. So turn to your Bibles with me, Genesis chapter number 22, and I am going to do, I told Brother Smith, Pastor Smith, I said I'm going to do the condensed version today, the good Lord willing. And I want to say, before I get into the word of the Lord, what a special honor this is for me. I was looking at my calendar, and I keep track of everywhere I've preached and when. And the last time I stood behind this desk was in 2015, and that's too long. It's scary. I just had 3 years in Albion. Lord, help us. And time just flies. If you blink, you're going to miss it. Genesis chapter 22. I guess I need to go there. And it came to pass, verse number 1, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Here am I. Said, Here am I. Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Get thee into the land of Moriah. Offer him there a burnt offering upon a mountain, and I'll tell thee of. I could read this whole story, but let me just condense it here. There was a sacrifice that had to be made, and it was a son. Everybody with me? And let's focus on verse number 5. Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, worship, and come again to you. 2 Samuel, we'll touch back on that story at a later date here. Time. Verse number, 2 Samuel chapter 12, and we'll begin reading with verse number 18. And it came to pass on the seventh day that David died, and the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw the servants whisper, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. Verse 20, Then David arose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Somebody say, and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Verse number 24. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son, and called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. Called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. I'm going to endeavor today to preach just for the next few moments on this subject, victory through the unnatural. Victory through the unnatural. I would appreciate your pastor's prayer today.
Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for one more time to hear your word. Don't let us take this lightly, God. I know the hour may be late, God, but there is something that's more important than everything else that takes place. And that is your word. In Jesus' name, anoint it to hear it, God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Praise God. You may be seated this afternoon. And so I am going to hasten today. And if you will give me a few minutes, how many will give me about 5 minutes? That's an old one. Everybody knows it. Okay, all right. Who will give me 30 minutes? Would it be a foolish thing to take a bear trap a bear, put it in your backyard, and release it to play with your children? Would not make a lot of sense. In fact, someone would say that would be a very unnatural happening. You would not take your car, drive it down to this gas station, and get a box of oil and fill your engine up with motor oil. Be very unnatural. The car would not operate it too long that way. I dare say that if somebody took a king cobra and dropped it in your bed tonight, it would be very unnatural to just lay there and say, "Hi, Mr. Snake, how are you today?" But there would be a response to that snake that just crawled into your bed. I think there would anyway. I know my wife, I would probably have to give her some type of mouth-to-mouth or something to get her back, because she would be gone. Snakes and her are not, they don't do well together. I don't do well with snakes. Let's just get the story straight here. I'm not going to ask who likes snakes. I'm almost afraid to, but I'm just saying. You put a cobra in my bed, brother, you're going to see a reaction. And it's going to be a good one. And so there's natural responses to situations. Everybody knows what the response is going to be. You don't even have to think about it. You know what the response, it's just natural. And so humanity is made with this ability to have responses naturally. It just works that way. And so I really today, and I'm going to do my best to stay on track and not get too crazy here, but the natural approach to anything, the natural response of humanity is to react the way everybody expects you to react. You hit your hand with a hammer, you're going to say, "Ow." Hopefully. Depends on how much Holy Ghost you have. And if you sit on a stone, my dad used to say, he said, there's a Chinese proverb, old ancient proverb, that says, "He that setteth on hot stove shall surely rise again." And I promise you that is the truth. If you don't believe me, go home and fire your stove up and sit on it. We'll find out what kind of response you have. It's natural. God said unto Abraham, Genesis chapter 17, "As for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of nations shall be of her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed in his heart. Natural reaction. "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" And Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." You see, it makes more sense, God. And God said, "Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed." And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful, multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, and with Sarah shall bear unto thee at the set time of the year. A lot began to transpire in the life of Abraham. God reaffirms the promised child in the plains of Mamre, and he visits the angel regarding the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. We all know the story. I don't have to get into a lot of detail here. Then comes the birth of the promised child. Genesis 21 and verse 3 says, and the Lord visited Sarah, and as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham, his son, in his old age, at the set time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called his name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare, Isaac. That's where the promise was. That's where the mission that through his seed. That's where the covenant was. That's where everything was going to stem from, was through Isaac. Everything up until this point was mapped out for Abraham. But there came a time that the tempting and the testing of the natural began to happen. That's the way it's supposed to be. This is the natural thing is, I'm going to bear a son. God said he's going to be promised seed. And through that seed, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed, as the stars of the heaven, as the sands of the seas. I got this, God. I know where I'm going. Everything makes sense. Here it is. Everything's fine. But then comes the unnatural part to flesh. Abraham had to go through some mental anguish and some mental torment and some confusion. It was unnatural to offer a child on an altar for sacrifice. That wasn't normal. That didn't make sense to Abraham. It wasn't that he couldn't understand necessarily the day-to-day operations, because God had been with him step by step by step. But then there came the uncharted waters of Mount Moriah. Here, take your son. Take him to an altar. Offer him a burnt offering. I can see a 124-year-old man making his way up a mountainside with a 24-year-old boy with all the energy and spunk and valor and vigor that he had. Looking at his father and saying, Dad, here's the wood and here's the sacrifice. Here's the fire, here's the wood, but where is the sacrifice? And the unnatural response came from Abraham. The unnatural response was this: son, God will provide himself a lamb. No, the flesh couldn't understand. I've got a sacrifice. But somewhere deep down inside of Abraham, he realized, if God said to do it, I've just got to do it. It ain't natural to the flesh, but this is what God said to do, and I think I'll just do it.
Clap your hands and give him praise right now.
It's unnatural to travel 3 days' journey without knowing where I'm going. It's unnatural to think that my son that you said, God, was going to be a child of promise, I'm going to have to lay him on an altar and crucify him and do away with him by death. That doesn't make sense. It's not natural. I'll tell you, it's not natural to say, I and the lad are going to go yonder and we're going to worship. I'll tell you what was unnatural about it. It's called worship. Anytime you engage in worship, it's not natural. I'll tell you what's natural. It's when somebody drops $1 million in your lap and you begin to praise about it and you begin to get happy, because praise is a natural response to happenings. But worship is something else. When hell's coming against you and you feel like you can't build a church,
church and people walk out the door and walk the other way. But God has placed a seed in your life, and that seed is this: you're going to build a church in Winnemac. Oh, but they're leaving. Oh, God, you didn't give me this promise. You said I could build a church, and you said there'd be souls saved. Oh, praise would be 15, 30 people coming from across town and saying, here, let me give you some help. But when you're sitting here looking at empty chairs and you're looking at empty pews, what is the response? Worship says, I'll go and I'll sacrifice my time. I'll sacrifice my efforts. I'll sacrifice whatever it takes. An unnatural response always brings victory. When you worship through your pain, God's going to bring you victory. When you worship, when you don't understand it, God's going to bring you victory. I wish somebody would clap your hands today. Hallelujah. Elijah could tell us a little bit about a response to a dead situation. He was placed out in the valley of a bunch of bones, and his flesh couldn't even form the words that, God, you can do this. But he was asked, he said, can these bones live? And the response was not one that the flesh could form up. In fact, he never even said, yes, you can. All the answer was this: sometimes all you've got is the Word of God. All you've got is the strength of the Word of God to back you up. All you've got is a word from the Lord. He began to speak, but it wasn't his words. He said, thou knowest, Lord. In other words, my flesh isn't strong enough to say yes, but I'll tell you what is possible. God said I could do it. And so God said, okay, because you know that I can do it, then start prophesying to the bones and let them begin to rise up and become an army. Your victory's going to come through an unnatural response to situations. When hell has destroyed you, when hell has knocked you for a loop, you stand against the currents of hell and say, we will have a church. We will have a church that is going to be saved. Unnatural responses are a worship that God is looking for. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. 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 Praise. Praise is such a natural thing, and it's not hard to praise. Trees praise, and streams praise, and the leaves, they begin to praise. Animals praise. Everything that God creates praises. And I know that God inhabits the praises of his people. But when you reach another level called worship, something begins to break. Worship is when you go to the church, when you don't feel like going to church. Worship is when you give that money in the offering pan and you pay your tithes when you can't even pay your bills. Worship says, I'm going to be faithful to the house of God even when I'm sick, even when I don't feel good. I'm going to worship. I'm going to do the unnatural thing to the flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven. The second time, let me tell you what happens when you do it right. I'm going to build somebody's faith today if I can. Hallelujah. And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that is in bless, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sands of the sea. It is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall. I'm not just going to bless you. I'm not just going to bless you because of your faithfulness. But there's going to be some territory that you're going to begin to claim because you were willing to sacrifice and worship through your pain. I'm telling somebody in this house, the pain that you're going through and the turmoil that you've been in, stay the course. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up hope, because the Lord said,
unto Abraham, I'm going to bless you, yes, and thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemies. I'm telling you, you're going to walk into places of victory because you're willing to worship through it. You're willing to keep coming to church and saying, I'll be faithful. I'll do the right thing. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to give up. You'll begin to take back some things the adversary has taken from you. He's taken some joy from some people. He's taken some determination. The joy of the Lord is my strength. How can I get joy through my problem? How can I get joy through my turmoil? I'll tell you how. It's when you worship God anyway and you throw your hands in the air when they're laying on a hospital bed and you say, though he slay me, yet I will serve him. Clap your hands, give him praise. When you begin to worship through your pain, God's going to take notice, and blessings are going to happen. Babies are going to be born. Offspring's going to begin to happen, and your downline's going to possess enemies. Don't worry about tomorrow. As long as you take care of today, God's going to take care of tomorrow. Take no thought for tomorrow. They're going to take care of themselves. I just know I've got to worship again today. I don't see the answer, but I don't have to see the answer. God already told me I'm going to be blessed. Hallelujah. The Shunammite woman, we could spend a lot of time on her, but I'm not even going to spend a lot of time. She just simply said, it is well. But wait a minute. Baby's laying there. Your promised child's dead. Where are you going, husband? Sometimes family members don't even understand what's going on. And when you run to that prophet, and you run and you grab his feet and you begin to say, oh, no, you don't. Everything's okay. How's everything going? My husband don't understand what's going on. My husband doesn't comprehend what's taking place. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I think I worship. You're not leaving me, man of God. You're not going anywhere. I'm staying right here until the miracle's done. What is that? That's an unnatural response. Should have been laying over that baby somewhere, weeping and crying about it. But I think I'll go to church. I think I'll go where my help is. I think I'll go and I'll talk to God. I'll worship through my adversities. Hallelujah. I'm hastening to a close. Hallelujah. You've dealt with this issue long enough. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. You've dealt with this problem long enough. God has sent you here today to let you know it's not time to complain. It's not time to wallow around in my self-pity. It's not time to worry about the situation. It's time to lay it on the bed and begin to make your way to a man of God. Make your way to the house of God and say, oh, though he slay me, I'm going to serve you, God. I'll stay myself in the church. I'm not worried about it. They can say what they want. If they say I'm crazy, fine. But I know where my help is. Oh, there is bread in the land of your nativity. Ruth, you know where you need to go right now. You know where your help is, Naomi. It's in the house in the land of Judah. My, I feel so much preach up in this pulpit. It's about ready to twist me inside out. I don't care if every devil in hell knows it. Oh, one night we about spun in the baptistry tank in Walkerton. It was powerful, wasn't it? Praise God. I'm telling you, I don't care. I'm not one concerned about the devil. He can't do anything God won't let him do. And the promise of God's word is this: I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. Somewhere there needs to be an intentional mindset that I'm going to worship through this situation. I'm going to worship through it. David was one. Man after God's own heart. He could have gotten pretty bitter when all his children, wife was taken. Malachites had carried him away. But at the end of that story, he recovered all. Everything. You see, David was a man after God's own heart. He was not void of problems. He was not void of situations. He was not void of issues and problems. I'm telling you, if you feel tonight, today, that you have nowhere else to turn or nowhere else to go, that is a normal thing, but it's unnatural to the flesh. It's unnatural to the flesh to think that I don't have anywhere I can turn, and I don't have anyone. I can't make these ends meet on my own. I can't make this all work out. And God is just sitting up here saying, oh yeah, sacrifice that thing. Sacrifice that thing. Raise that knife in the air. And when you commit yourself beyond what's comfortable to the flesh, and you say, yes, church is my priority. I can't be in and out and up and down. I'm making a declaration that this is where I need to be. This is what needs to happen. God's going to stop the knife, and victory's going to come through an unnatural response. Music come. One day, David messed up. David messed up. Anybody ever made a mistake before? Anybody ever did something you wish you could take back? David found out that his new wife bore his child after he had caused a murder. He had fornicated. Hey, I'm just being real. I'm just preaching you a Bible. You say, well, I've done too much. I've made too many mistakes. And you know, I've got a past here, and it's messed up. No, you haven't went too far. You haven't made too many mistakes. God loves you just like you are. Well, I don't look like them. I don't have the same look. I've got this about. Listen, God loves you just the way you are. Just how you are in this place right now. That's how God wants you. Don't let the devil tell you that you can't have salvation and you can't be saved. Once David found this news, she was sick now. The baby was sick. In fact, he was sick unto death, the Bible says. David began to mourn. Therefore, David besought God for the child, and David fasted. Oh, yeah. It gets real. You know, it gets real. Went in and lay upon the earth. The elders of the house arose. They began to come to David and tried to lift him up, tried to offer him food, tried to just lay prostrate on his face. And so David perceived when they come around, the child was dead. He asked him, is the child dead? He said, yes, the child died. Would you notice the response of David? Then David arose from the earth, washed, and anointed himself. Changed his apparel. You can't keep holding on to that junk. It's over. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get the smell off. Get everything off of it. It's done. Stop wallowing around in that thing. It's time to go on here. David said, I'm moving on. He came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went and ate. His servants asked him, he said, well, what's this? While that child was dead, or while that child was alive, all you wanted to do was lay around and do nothing. Moan and groan and cry. Now that he's dead, you're going to go give God praise? They didn't understand. You're going to go back and worship God after your child died? After the death of his child, David rose. He washed himself, went to worship. That's not a natural response. That's not even natural when something dies. when something is gone or ripped from you, or it doesn't seem like this is right, this situation. And the natural response is never, let's go worship. After and only after his child died, David came into the house and worshiped. The very thing he didn't do while there was still hope, he did when hope was gone. Somebody hear it right now. He began to worship. I want to ask somebody here today, in the power of the Holy Ghost, can you worship when hope is gone? Can you worship when hope is gone? Job chapter number 1, it was Job that, after everything had been destroyed and taken from him, he arose. Notice, everything was taken from him. He arose, he rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down on the ground and worshiped. He worshiped. We're not talking about praise, because praise is definitely a response to happenings and an excitement, a thankfulness. But worship takes it to a whole nother level. And it's commitment through your pain. Worship is willing to give God obeisance in the greatest of pain. Let's all stand today. David's servants were confused. You fasted, you wept while the child was alive. Now that the child's dead, you're ready to worship, David. You're nuts. You're crazy. You're out of your mind. Isn't this what people say? Isn't this just how people judge us? Oh, you're going through that. Oh, you're a Christian. Oh, you're an apostle. Oh, you go to that church, but you're going through that. I know. The unnatural response is not to complain about it and worry and fret about it, but it's to say, I know where I'm going. I know where my help comes from. I know what's going to happen when I get to the house of God. You're not wrong to worship God in your pain. In fact, the greatest praise will come through worship. But it's unnatural, I know. But it's victory that comes through an unnatural response. God sees the heart. Man looks right out here on the outside. He sees all this confliction and conflict and all this mess. But God is looking inside of a heart of an individual. And he sees somebody that says, oh, no, you don't, devil. My mind's made up. I'm serving God. This trial ain't going to make me bitter. It's going to make me better. I'm going to grow just one more step in God today. Notice the very next thing that happens after David comes out. He goes to the house, he eats, and he enjoys. Worship will take you into places. Worship's going to take you to places you could only dream of going. Your hope has been taken, but you're worshiping in the loss of hope. And he went, and he comforted his wife, Bathsheba. Woo! Let me tell you what happens when you worship through pain. God's going to give you more than you had before. The first child didn't even have a name. They just said, the child. Your child has died. But the second child that God gave him, after he comforted his wife, after he had worshiped through his adversity, was named Solomon. The Bible says, and the Lord loved him. Talking of Solomon, let me tell you what Solomon's name means. Woo! It means peace. You know what just happened in the life of David? Because David was willing to go to an altar when all hell was against him, when everything in life was facing him, and he didn't know how he was going to make ends meet, and he got that old tithes check out, and he began to write those in faith and drop it in the offering pan. When all his family members turned against him, he still made his way to an altar. And from that worship that he had comes an expectation. And then comes babies. And peace begins to settle upon him. The peace of God. I'm telling somebody, when Zion travails, when Zion travails, there's a sweet presence of the Holy Ghost. I don't know exactly what everybody's going through right now, but I do feel that there are babies getting ready to be born in this place right now. If you're willing to go through the anguish and the pain of having an unnatural response, if you're willing to say, I'll go through it with you, God. I'm going to go to worship even though this issue, even though situations have arisen that I have no control of, I'm going to worship you anyway. God's going to give you a Solomon. You can birth him in this place today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Raise your hands all over this house. Victory's going to come through an unnatural response. You may not even feel like raising your hands right now. You may not even feel like worshiping God. But if you'll press into the place, God's going to birth a Solomon and a peace that'll pass all understanding. Going to rest upon you today. Hallelujah. If anybody wants to come to this altar, it would be much in order today to let God touch you and renew you and give you fresh desire, fresh promise, fresh desire today. Hallelujah. Grab your neighbor's hand and begin to pray right now. God's going to do something in this house. God's going to talk to somebody. God's going to do something that only God can do. You've got to be willing to worship right now. Worship. Worship when it doesn't feel right. Worship God when all hell's against you. Your church is not over. There is revival just waiting for you to birth it through worship. Worship. There are some people worshiping right now. There are some people that are going through some things that they don't understand, but they're willing to say, God, I give it all to you right now. I give it all unto you right now, God. I worship you. Savior forever.
Doing good things in this house. I know if you've got church elsewhere, you need to go, go. It's all right. Thank you for coming to celebrate with us. Hallelujah. Can we give God a praise and worship in this house for what He's doing? Thank you for being a miracle worker, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for coming out and making this day so special. I know it was a long service, but sometimes special things do take a while to express your appreciation. We would not be here if it weren't for you. Thank you so much. Can our church from Winnemac express our thank you to all of them that come to worship with us today? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Have good church tonight. If you don't have church and you want to stay for dinner, you're more than welcome. But if you have church, your place is at your home church. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you on down the trail. And if you're from Winnemac, we'll see you at the dinner in Jesus' name. It's on Logan Street. This is the address. You can plug it into your phone right down the street. Dinner should be ready. We'll go in. We'll go through the line and eat. God bless you.